We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Good day. Welcome, Bill Michaels Show. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are glad that you are on board today, and thanks, as always, for taking a listen to us. We certainly appreciate it. We are broadcasting live today, by the way, at Road America here in Elkhart Lake. Beautiful Elkhart Lake, Road America. And they have the Xfinity NASCAR series coming through. And, boy, they've got the stadium trucks going around right now. If you've never seen the stadium trucks are cool because they put jumps in the middle of the race course, which is really cool because these things go flying around the racetrack, and then when they get to the straightaways, they have jumps. And, I mean, they fly 100 feet in the air type of jumps. It's just really, really cool. Picture-perfect weather here at Road America today. So if you're coming up to this area, if you're going to do the camping over the weekend, if you're a race fan, I mean, this is the place to be. So getting back to the day at hand, and we'll talk racing throughout the day, but, man, oh, man, what a game last night. And if you want to call it a blank show, you're certainly more than capable of doing so, because last night what happened in Winnipeg, Canada, I can't tell you how many phone calls I've taken today from friends or people that, you know, just people in general that I know, football fans, whatever, that said, what happened? Why was that just so bad? And that's a great question, and it's a very honest question, because, first of all, the NFL knew about this field for a while now. Okay, there's nothing secret here. The NFL knew that the field was not going to be good. That's first and foremost. Secondly, look, Roger Goodell makes $50 million. He could have taken $1 million out of his own pocket and had that whole thing redone and had it done in time for this game, knowing how many weeks out the Winnipeg-Canada game was going to be. If you had a chance to read, and I know you have to pay for it, so chances are you probably didn't, but the Winnipeg newspaper today called it an embarrassment and a sham. I mean, look, it was kind of forced there. I mean, I was asked last night, why did the NFL do this? Because they have football in Canada, and the NFL... There's an arrogance to the NFL, where the NFL, if you don't like it, next in line. Okay? Next in line. All right. I get it. Nobody is looking at the NFL and saying that they have a lack of followers, and within the NFL is saying, look, nobody's going to cover us if this fails, because that's not true. The NFL is just basically saying, look, if you don't like it, next in line. We'll take the next person. You can get out of here. We don't need you. And that's kind of the arrogance of the NFL. Because between gambling and such, and obviously it's the number one covered sport in America, the NFL knows they're the biggest and baddest on the block. They don't need you. You know, if they lose a couple of percentage points, who cares? You know, because they're still, again, a billion, tens of billion dollar industry. And they really don't care. So they go to Canada. They do it on the cheap. They jack up the prices. And I was talking to a couple of people that live in Canada, one of our buddies from TSN that covers the Canadian Football League, and he said the prices for this game, for a preseason game, were just jacked up. And Canadians are like, why am I paying this amount of money to go see a preseason game? We don't pay this amount of money for a regular season CFL game. That's how arrogant the NFL was. So not only do they jack up prices, but because they just are the NFL. Here we come. You're going to pay premium to see us. But then they don't even really do their due diligence in taking care of the field and taking care of the conditions. Therefore, the stars that people really wanted to see as the third preseason game going to Canada, you can't even see because they weren't going to play their starters anyway. So they're asking for a premium. Ticket prices were anywhere from $110 to $450 for seats, and you didn't even get a chance to see kind of the stars. You know, it's not even a regular season matchup. It's not that game. You're putting two storied franchises against one another, but you're not doing it in the reality of that setting. You know what I mean? So it was a failure. It was an epic failure, and now you're not going to see Aaron Rodgers this preseason. As a matter of fact, he was doing an interview with John Kuhn after the ball game, and John had even said something to the effect of, well, you're not playing in the fourth preseason game, so do you feel like you can go ahead and go out there and just turn it on against the Bears and without any reps at all in the preseason? And Aaron Rodgers never stopped him and said, well, wait a minute, we haven't decided on the fourth game. He just said, no, we're good. I'm good. I'm fine with that. You know, I'm fine not taking the reps in the preseason. I'm fine. You know, he basically confirmed the question that was, well, you're not playing in the preseason, so are you okay with this? So the whole thing just turned into a blank show last night. Now you also actually have some injuries to deal with. Rashawn Gary, he goes down with a, quote, head and neck injury. And we don't know if he's in concussion protocol. I don't really have the update on that yet. I just got to Road America a little while ago, and I've been trying to get everything set up, so I haven't had a chance to read ahead. But his people, his agents, which I'm sure the Packers are thrilled with, tweeted out, you know, hey, he's fine. Thanks for all the well wishes and prayers or whatever. But don't worry about it. Rashawn Gary's going to be okay. This was just after he had finally gotten his first statistical tackle of the season. So he gets that. He says he's fine. The other guy is Equanimee St. Brown. And they didn't want to get – I mean, Matt LaFleur, the minute they were talking to him about injuries, and he says, ah, we don't want to get into that. And that's when they ended the press conference, and the Packers aren't going to give you any information. Now, some around the club, and the rumors are they saw him obviously leave in on crutches in a walking boot, but some were saying it's as bad as a dislocated ankle. Others are saying it's a high ankle sprain. So we haven't gotten the definitive on that. But if it's a dislocated ankle, you could be talking about surgery in the end of your season. So that could change the way you look at this team as far as the depth chart goes, obviously. So, anyway, last night, your takeaway from the game that was in Canada, 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. That's on the Milwaukee Admirals, hashtag Admirals50 talk line. If you want to chime in, do it, because we would love to have you. Always love your conversation and love your opinion as well. And then if you want to get a hold of us on Twitter, it is @Bill_Michaels. That's @Bill_Michaels. You can find us there. And in addition to that, you can find us over on the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/TheBillMichaelsShow. Everything's on the website. Simply go to BillMichaelsSports.com. That's BillMichaelsSports.com. And the radio.com app, great way to take a listen to the show, great way to get a hold of us, great way to be alerted when we're coming on the air or something big is coming up. So a lot of ways to stay in touch with the program there. So your opinion on what you witnessed last night, did anything get clearer, I guess is the best way to put it. Last night, some takeaways. If you want to talk about some of the positives, look, Summers continues to tackle. You still more the fundamentals, the tackling itself was better last night. You know, the opposite side was I didn't get a chance to see a lot of the starters, didn't get a chance to really see him open up the offense. Boyle certainly has separated himself from the rest of the pack when it comes to the ability to, the backup, but more so to be a little more trustworthy, I guess. The first game, he looked more poised in the pocket. We talked about that. The second game, both guys, neither guy looked really good. DeShone Kizer nor Tim Boyle, neither looked really good. And then Boyle last night separated himself a little bit. Anyway, that being said, you know, at least your backup quarterback position is a little bit clearer. Maybe there's more of a belief now that your backup quarterback is on the roster, because a lot of people were saying that he wasn't. I don't know what cutdown day is going to bring, that if a veteran suddenly falls out there, that maybe the Packers bring him in. But as of right now, I would assume that Tim Boyle, not DeShone Kizer, is going to be the backup for this team. Again, 855-830-8648. Go ahead and give us a shout. Steve says, first of all, what a cluster last night with the field and the attendance. Roger Goodell should be ashamed that he let this happen. There are high school fields in southeast Wisconsin that are in better shape than that. It's a shame that EQ got twisted up, and it looks like his season may be over. It's lucky that more players didn't get hurt last night. The movers as far as up, Tim Boyle, Trevor Davis, Rashawn Gary, J.K. Scott. J.K. Scott's had a tremendous preseason, okay? And there's not another competition guy in camp, you know, battling for that particular position, so he's got it. Gary has the tools, but James Lofton saw what I did. He is looping too much and needs to develop an inside move. He showed better quickness, and he actually got hurt on a hustle play last night. J.K. Scott has a tremendous hang time, and that he can be a field position changer in the regular season. The movers down, DeShawn Kizer, Jamon Moore, Cole Madison. Jamon Moore is not making this team, and if he makes it through to be a practice squad candidate, I'd be a surprise. Cole Madison had too many penalties, and Kizer continues to tread water in choppy seas. With the starters not playing last night, which he has in parentheses, hashtag smart move, we will perhaps see a little something from them next week, say a series or two. That's from our buddy Steven Richfield. You're going to see maybe some of the starters, but I would be surprised if you see Aaron Rodgers, to be perfectly honest with you. So I don't think you're going to see things running at that tip-top level that everybody kind of wanted to see. I really, look, you're going to debut Matt LaFleur's true offense on Thursday night in front of the Bears, and you're going to hold your breath and hope for the best. I believe that. Just believe that. 855-830-8648. We are broadcasting live. Up here, the NASCAR Foundation and NASCAR Xfinity Series comes roaring into Elkhart Lake and Road America this weekend. We are broadcasting live at Road America. Right now the track is quiet, and hopefully you can hear a little bit of this going on in the background as the day goes on, as the cars are getting ready to head out there. You've got some of the super late models that are going to head out there right now as they're clearing the track and making sure it's good to go for the time trials that are coming up a little bit later on today. But we're up here. It's beautiful. This is always one of my favorite locations to broadcast from because I love the atmosphere. I love the campgrounds. I love the forestry that's up here, the undulation in the racetrack. Not a bad seat in the house to watch these cars fly past you and then go, wow, what was that? So it's a lot of fun. It's a party. I saw the haulers and everything coming in this morning for a lot of the fans. It was the big RVs and the cars and the golf carts and the little mopeds and such that you kind of cruise around this place on. I love Road America, and I've been saying for a long time it's a hidden gem in the state of Wisconsin. If you haven't been here, you need to get here because it's just such a cool place. Going to go ahead and take a quick break, but what your thoughts? What did you get out of last night? And do you agree, maybe with our buddy Steven Richfield, that there's a few guys like Jamon Moore and company, they're not long for this world when it comes to making this football team. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michael Show is next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Well, the Corvette Series and the Super Lates are heading out onto the road track right now here at Road America, and you don't get a much better day. I'm not kidding you. I was driving up here today. I was almost late because I was just enjoying the ride. Now, there's a couple of roads that were shut down. 164 coming out of Waukesha County was shut down at a certain area, so I had to kind of veer off and take a different pathway to Road America today because you got to go through Key Wascom and you got to go through West Bend and that area. But you don't get a much better day than this. It's like 71 degrees, low humidity, little bit of a breeze. And nothing but sunshine. I mean, there's a few clouds off to the west of us, but it's, yeah, I'm just telling you, if there was a postcard for racing, you would just go to the rooftop of this place and take a snapshot and go, here you go. As a matter of fact, during the top of the hour break, I'm going to do that, and then I'll post it out. I'll put it over on my Instagram, and I'll put it over on Facebook and Twitter as well. By the way, if you want to follow me on Instagram, just follow the real Bill Michaels on Instagram, and you're good to go. Because there's a couple of them out there that's not me, just an FYI. We are broadcasting live, like I said, here at Road America. The NASCAR Infinity Series comes roaring through Elkhart Lakes Road America this weekend. So get out here and enjoy yourself on a race weekend. What stood out to you last night in the Packers' third preseason game? They get knocked off 22-21, a 33-yard field goal with 8 seconds to go in the ball game, splits the uprights, and the Packers ended up falling. But all in all, Tim Boyle, not a bad night. And the Packers, tackling better. They played a little bit better. Brad and Sturgeon Bay said last night was embarrassing for the NFL. Didn't something similar happen a couple of years ago with a game that was supposed to be played in Mexico City and last year as well? And for the Packers at the Hall of Fame game, let me answer yes to all of those questions. Just an FYI. How does the NFL schedule these games while being so ignorant of the field conditions? With regard to the roster, I was impressed at the depth of the running back position. Shepard looked really good at a receiver, and I think that Boyle has solidified himself as a number two. By the way, I would agree with you on all accounts. Completely agree. I think last night Boyle separated himself. I think now, depending on what you believe the depth chart to be, okay, now this injury to Equanimeous St. Brown, I don't know what the depth is of it yet. I mean, if it's something where he's going to be out 6 weeks, that's one thing. If it's something that's going to be out a week, that's another. If it's something where he's going to lose a season, that's another. So you would figure right now your top four wide receivers, Davante Adams, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Jake Kumerow, Geronimo Allison, Trevor Davis. Okay, top four or five, because Trevor Davis, I think, played himself onto the roster last night. Then after that, if Equanimeous St. Brown is not a guy that can go, Alan Lazard has been really solid. Jamon Moore last night didn't play nearly enough snaps, and they're kind of looking at him going, okay, I think we've been there, done that. And Darius Shepherd is another guy that really, they talk about it doesn't take talent to give effort. And they are 100% correct on that. It doesn't take talent to give effort. So when you look at the total number of snaps last night, the guys that are giving effort, the guys that are getting a lot of looks, you go to Lazard last night, 47 snaps he played in the offense, okay? 47 snaps. So then you start to look down, you start to look, okay, who's the other guys? Jamon Moore, 15 snaps last night in the offense, 3 snaps on special teams. Equanimeous St. Brown, he ended up getting hurt. We all know that, so he only had 12 snaps last night. But when you talk about the guys offensively speaking, those are kind of the guys. Lazard, like I said, 47 snaps. I mean, that guy, they're using him. Shepherd, 40 snaps. They're using him. Those guys are going to make this team. Equanimeous St. Brown, because of an injury, he ended up leaving the game early. But Jamon Moore, only 15 snaps last night. Kumerow got 20 snaps last night, but I believe he's made the team anyway. Geronimo Allison, Davante Adams, they're not playing in this ballgame. So it was up to the guys that they're really looking at really hard to play a lot of snaps. And I think when you look at the overall numbers last night and you look at who really kind of shined and who performed, Trevor Davis, he was targeted 6 times. They went after him. 78 yards, his longest being a 20-yarder, had a 1-yard touchdown or a 1-touchdown pass that he caught last night. Averaged 15.6 yards per catch. Shepherd targeted 3 times, 3 catches, 40 yards. Lazard, 4 times. He ended up getting 2 catches, 24 yards. Jake Kumerow was targeted 4 times, a couple of catches, 20 yards, and that 16-yarder being a touchdown. You know, Robert Tonyan, Carson. So you start to look and you say, okay, Equanimeous St. Brown targeted 4 times, had the 1 catch, ended up leaving the game. Jamon Moore targeted 1 time, 1 catch, a 5-yard out. That was it. Nothing more to it. I don't think Jamon Moore is long for this world when it comes to making this football team. 855-830-8648. Braden says Gruden had no problem with the football field. He pointed at the Packers that they had an issue. If he didn't have an issue with it, then why did he not play his starters? You know, just an FYI. So, you know. Because, look, nobody, I mean, Matt LaFleur said he didn't have a problem with it either. He said, I don't have a problem with it. We're good with the field. They're not going to blast the NFL. The field itself, it was interesting because I had one of the reporters, I was following one of the reporters that covers the team in Winnipeg and said, look, our guys play on this turf all the time. You know, it's not like guys are getting hurt and it's thin and it's hard. I mean, it's a turf that's old. It was put in 2009, so it's 10 years old. But it's still similar to the turf that a lot of teams use, even a lot of colleges use. So it wasn't necessarily the turf. It was just some of the field and then obviously the holes in the end zone where the goalposts go. So to say Gruden had no problem with it, if he didn't have a problem with it, why didn't he play any of his starters either? I mean, this was the game in which you normally play your starters. But he just said, no, we didn't have a problem with it. He said it, but again, look what he did, not what he said. Sometimes coaches are going to say one thing just to make you believe something or because they're not going to criticize the NFL. 855-830-8648. I said a little bit earlier, by the way, the late models were coming out, and in the Corvettes, no, it's the Trans Am series that is out on the field right now just because they just posted it up on the screen. So the Trans Am series, which is SCCA, by the way, heading out there right now. Let's go to the phone calls. Talk to Tom listening to us in Mequon. Tom, welcome to the program. Glad to hear from you. What's up?
Great topic today. I was just one big thing that I really noticed yesterday in the game is that the pass rush hasn't been there at all. And I think I was expecting to see, you know, a lot more, pressure on the quarterback. And that's kind of critical to the season this year, and I just didn't see that in any of the games I've watched and was wondering what you guys thought about it.
I haven't seen much pressure on the court. Now, they're not blitzing. Okay, so that's one thing to keep in mind. They're just basically going man-to-man, and you're right. You're not seeing a ton of quarterback pressure. What we have seen is the quarterback, go back to the Texans game. You saw some pressure early on, and you saw some guys winning up front. But the Baltimore game, and even so last night, you didn't see a lot of guys winning the one-on-ones up front. And when you're getting beat physically in the trenches, that is one of those red flags that goes up in your mind because you say, do you have enough, not bodies, but big bodies. I've always called them road graders. Do you have enough guys up front to move the pile? If you got guys that can move the pile and open up holes, that's when your blitzes work. Because remember, Mike Pettine's really big on bringing things from different areas. He's a guy that uses the scheme to confuse you. So I'm not expecting Kenny Clark. I'm not expecting the outside linebackers to all of a sudden just come full bore, because they're not going to show that. They're playing very vanilla, and they're just kind of standing each other up at the line of scrimmage, but they're not winning the one-on-one battles, but they're not necessarily losing and getting blown off the ball either. Last night, when you talk about the total rush yardage, the Packers actually won that last night. They ran for 94 yards. They only gave up 75 yards on the ground. So that's kind of what I look and see. If your defensive line is getting blown off the ball, that's when a team can run the football and really kind of work up a lather for some of their running backs, specifically their backups, and they didn't do that. And remember, the Raiders last night, they were only 31% on third down. They were only appreciate the phone call, and thanks so much for giving us a call. Look forward to talking to you again. They were only 31% on third down. So the Packers defensively did their job in getting off the field last night, at least early on in that ball game. Let's do this. We're going to take a break. We're broadcasting live at Road America. We're here at Elkhart Lake in beautiful, beautiful weather. Right now you've got the Trans Am Series, the Corvettes and the Mustangs and all that kind of stuff out there on the track. And we're going to talk some baseball when we come back, because you got a big series coming up. The Arizona Diamondbacks, who are still hanging on to wild card hope, they're coming to town. The Brewers finally got that win against St. Louis, kind of licking their wounds as they come back to town, and they now go on a stretch in which they got to win series. They got to win ball games. They got to win series. Maybe a little home cooking will do that for them. Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show, is coming up. This portion of the program being brought to you by our good friends at Cousin Subs, who've been doing it and grilling it up for 45 years. 45 years. They've been doing it, and we appreciate them. We appreciate them being a part of the program. They are the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Delivery now available in some select locations as well. So check out CousinSubs.com. And again, thanks to Cousin Subs for being a part of the program. Tim Allen, next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
It's the same thing I said last night. We're within striking distance of this thing. That hasn't changed, and got ourselves a little bit closer tonight.
Those are the words of Craig Counsell. Welcome back to the program, The Bill Michaels Show. We are broadcasting live at Road America. And getting you ready for the race weekend. NASCAR Infinity Series is here, and they're going to go roaring through and enjoying it. I love racing. I really do. Like I've said before, I've always loved here at Road America, coming up here and enjoying ourselves. Hey, a reminder, speaking of enjoying yourself, Bud Light coming up next Wednesday night. The Wednesday Night Live group is back, but I want to remind you, it is our Wednesday Night Live, as the Fisher House charity is going to be featured. Please come out. It's the original Toys. It's the Toys Revisited. Huge concert night, music night for the toys and such, but more so for our charity. So please, the weather looks to be good. Come on out next Wednesday night to the Budweiser Pavilion at the Wisconsin State Fair Park. It's all brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show. Tim, how you doing, buddy?
Good. Ready to get back into action tonight with a three-game set against the D-backs.
Yeah, and they don't come in here as kind of a laydown, because even though the end of the season looks good for the Brewers when you talk about, you know, the teams they're going to face, the Diamondbacks are still fighting for something. Even though they're right now 20 and a half games back, they're still trying to think that they maybe can hang around and maybe grab themselves a wild card. So this might be their last gasp for air, and you're hoping the Brewers kind of just give them the knockout blow and start the winning ways when it comes to winning series, man.
They're right there at 500, 64-64, but you look over at the East and you see the Nationals and the Phillies, and these teams just, they won't, and the Mets, they're not going away either. This is a dogfight. for the wild card. And I've said before that I think the clearer path, I won't say easier, but the clearer path to the postseason is going to be to win this division. And they do play the teams that they want to play head-to-head. They're just going to have to play better baseball, 4-6 in their last 10. The offense is doing their thing a little bit better here, 277 team batting average the last 10 games. However, at that same time, now you just get a little downspurt with that pitching staff, and their ERA is out of control here in the last 10 games. So they're going to have to continue to put things together.
Once they get past the Diamondbacks, and we've got, obviously the cars are screaming by here, but once we get past the Diamondbacks, 10 out of the next 12 is Cardinals and Cubs. I mean, to me, that's your season. You know, as much as we can talk about, well, they do have the Cardinals again after they face the Miami Marlins. I've said, Tim, if they end up coming out of those 10 games and they're a game within a game below or above, you know, the leaderboard, I think they got a legitimate shot at winning this thing because the competition – now, remember, they've played down to the competition all season long, but the competition they face – has all but started the engines and ended their season. You know what I mean? So maybe you start to catch, you know, the call-up, the September call-ups, and guys are just trying to throw guys out there on teams just to kind of give them a little bit of experience. But maybe, just maybe, if they're within a game, because their schedule, at least on the face, looks easier, they could then pull this thing out before it's all said and done.
And they can, and they can. And Ryan Braun said it the other night that this team has proven that they can and are capable of getting on a run. Now, there's a little different dynamic. You don't have Zeus and his smiling face and doing what he's doing. You don't have Shaw in there doing what he's doing. Maybe he's coming back up. I would load that clubhouse up, and I probably would predict that and feel comfortable with it, that they would just go max value with just a ton of players brought up. I think he wants Council wants every option he can get. But it does come from within. It does come from your main guys. And that top of that lineup, Lorenzo Cain, Yasmani Grandal in the two, and Yelich in the three. Keston Hira has been holding his own in that cleanup spot as well. So your top three or four guys, Bill, I think they're fully capable. And you're seeing a hot spurt here from Lorenzo Cain. In his last 16 plate appearances, last 16 times he's walked to the plate, he's ended up on base. That's via hit, walk, or hit by pitch. That is a great sign. And to get Yelich, you know, in a situation where a hot streak's coming from Christian Yelich, you got to have guys on base in front of him, and Lorenzo Cain is that key.
Pitching staff, Tim, you know, we know it wasn't good going into that Cardinals series, giving up a ton of runs, was getting shelled top to bottom. Blip on the radar, or are you starting to see the fatigue that the use of the out-getter system is starting to create in this team?
No, I think it's just a little downslope for that pitching staff. They've been so good, especially the starters have been really, really good. And this is, you know, prime suspect number one has been that offense. And we've discussed that, and you guys have on your show, Bill, as well. But it is it's just a little downslope. And the timing may be good for that. Hang tough here for another week or two, just another week or 10 days even. Just get to that call-up situation and get to the health situation for guys like Woodruff and Yolish Chacin. And I say Chacin because we don't know what role, Bill, he's going to play once he is healthy and ready to go. Brent Suter's ready to go. You never know what's going to happen with a Jimmy Nelson. You don't know with some of
Tim,
these
when
guys.
Do you bring up Brent Suter?
I would bring him
when
up
When you bring
very
up Brent
quickly.
Suter, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, real quick. I mean, if his numbers in the minors are showing that, but again, this is about his recovery time too. And you oftentimes have to be careful, as you know, with an elbow injury. It's not just getting him back out there on the mound to pitch. That's in a lot of cases is the easy part. I think the toughest part is what does he feel like after? How does he recover from a 50 pitch outing? Then you bump it up. How does he recover from a 75 pitch outing? I see him being up as soon as they feel comfortable with that recovery time, and he's going to help this team. He will.
I think that, I mean, he's pitched so well, and I know they want to pace him, and I understand it. But that cat has thrown out some BBs, man. And as much as I want to see him work it out in the minors, and I don't want to see him come up and get shelled, but at what point do you say, man, I mean, he's throwing baseballs down there. Why not just throw them up here? Because right now we've got some guys that are struggling.
And you might see the out-getter philosophy come back into play once he is back, or some other arsenal of arms are up here. You just might see that. You might see Brent Suter piggybacking with a Jordan Lyles, for example. And Lyles needs to get that ERA down. It's upwards of 5 right now, and that needs to come on back down. He's been overall pretty good, but you may see the out-getter, the openers, if you will. I wouldn't rule that out, because you get one shot at this, 35 games remaining. You get one shot, and I think they're going to roll the dice in a lot of different ways. We'll see.
Talking with Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show. Now, you and I have discussed Orlando Arcia a couple of times. I talked about him with Adam McAlvey. Moving forward, because this is going to be one of those years where you start to look at this team and you say, okay, what do we need to adjust? Obviously, you got to figure out third, you got to figure out first, you got to figure out what you're going to do at catcher, if you're bringing Yasmani back or not. So there's going to be areas you need to have a concern with. If you get enough offense, are you good with keeping Orlando Arcia the way things are? Or do you really start to look over that fence and go, you know what, we know that Keston here is our second baseman. The rest of the infield, it's on the remake.
He's not the guy that you depend on for offense, really. What he's going to do is provide some stability there. Yeah, has it been a little sketchy at times defensively here, and certainly offensively, he's got to stop being the streaky hitter that he is, because we've seen signs. We've seen it last year down the stretch into the playoffs, a little bit earlier this year in a couple of windows. I'm not overly concerned. Dude's young. Until something organically happens at that shortstop position, I don't see him going out and signing a Freddie Galvis or a journeyman guy. I think they're all right, but you said it. The key is, if the rest of the offense does their thing, then Orlando Arcia looks a little bit better in that lineup.
Also, before I let you go, I wanted to ask you, going back to the pitching staff, if you're going to – who right now, other than Hader, because Hader is still a guy you're going to go to, who right now is your dependable guy? Is it Matt Albers?
It is. It's Matt Albers, and then it's a combination of Junior Guerra and Alex Claudio. Those are the guys right there that are going to have to get it done. And, you know, you've seen some ups and downs out of Junior Guerra for sure, and he's the one that I would say, hey, if we can get a stretch drive for him where he is just spot on, that's going to help. Albers has had a good year. I trust him right now. I do. And then Alex Claudio, I think the most underrated arm in that bullpen. That dude just does his thing. And now they're learning how to use him. And not that they didn't before, but they just, I think they expected a little too much out of him. Put him in the right position to succeed, and you're seeing really, really good response from Alex Claudio. So Jeremy Jeffress, on the other hand, that one is if you got the answers, man, I'd love to hear them. I think they'd love to hear them too, because at a certain point, you got to stop making excuses for him. You got to stop continually saying that, well, it was a good pitch and the guy went down and got it. Or they were ground balls and balls just found holes. We've all seen him pitch this year. It's just not like last year, for sure. And it's actually, at times, not good, Bill.
Well, absolutely. I agree with that. But you go back to Junior Guerra. Junior Guerra, now correct me if I'm wrong, he reminds me now of Derek Turnbow. And because Turnbow would come out and you knew, because if Turnbow was throwing strikes and getting ahead in the count right away, he was on. The minute he came out and started throwing balls and he couldn't control the splitter and he was down in the dirt or couldn't hit the strike zone, you knew it was going to be a long day. You just knew it. He was either throwing strikes or he wasn't, and if he wasn't aggressive, he wasn't going to be going after hitters, which means he just like the other night, he walks in the run. I pull my hair out when they walk in a run, and when you don't challenge a hitter right away and you're throwing junk that's not in the strike zone, trying to get a guy to go fish, that means you don't believe in your fastball, you don't believe in your movement, and Junior Guerra is exactly like Derek Turnbow used to be. If he's not on, he's not throwing strikes.
He might be one of those guys that you can detect early that it's just not his day. But again, that's the unpredictable nature of what we have here, and that is we don't know what's going to happen in the next 35 games. We don't know who's going to have an injury, who's going to get into a funk, who's going to with the other teams you're fighting with. You just don't know. The Cubs can't play every game at Wrigley. I mean, they're dynamite at Wrigley Field. They can't play there the rest of the year. I know they want to, but it's not going to happen. They're going to get into a little bit of a funk, too. How much of a funk? Don't know. Cardinals have been the steady Fred in all of this, and I think they're sneaky good. They're a team that they just do their thing. They don't get a lot of publicity. It's always the talk of the Brewers and the Cubs in these parts. And we've forgotten about that St. Louis Cardinal team. So the unpredictable nature of these next 35 games is like must-see TV, guys.
Yeah, the Cubs, by the way, they've got these three at home against the Nationals, and then they go on the road for three, then back at home against the Brewers, which will be a big series. But they actually then go on a little bit of an extended road trip where they have eight games on the road. But then from September 13th all the way through September 22nd, they have got 13 games at home. Or excuse me, yep. 10-game homestand. And that could be the determining factor before it's all said and done.
Absolutely, it could. And that is because of an open-air stadium. Because you back shelf those home games with these outdoor stadiums. It's going to be fun. It starts tonight.
Well, I guess the good news is that they end on the road against the Pirates and the Cardinals. And if it comes down to the Cardinals still fighting and the Cubs still fighting, meanwhile the Brewers are playing lesser teams, maybe the Brewers sneak in there before it's all said and done. That would be a euphoric world. Tim, always a pleasure, buddy. We'll talk soon.
You got it.
All right, pal. Talk to you later. There you go. Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. And they're getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. If you want to be a driver, not a driver like is out here at Road America, but a driver for a trucking company that's doing it right, call them 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. Also, a reminder, don't forget that we are broadcasting live here at Road America, and we're going to be here this weekend. You got the Xfinity NASCAR Series coming to town. And later today, I'm going to be back in Brookfield, Wisconsin for a little bit at the new Pella Window Experience. So stop by. I think it opens up at noon today, but I'm going to be there probably around 5 or 6. It's out where the old Golf Galaxy used to be, right behind the full-service car wash. So I'll see you there later on this afternoon. I'm going to go ahead and take a quick break. We'll come back. Got a lot more. Talking about the Packers, talking some Brewers. Got a lot of things to discuss. We'll be back after this.
Wisconsin wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. We're glad you are here. Thanks as always for taking a listen to us. Hey, a reminder, our friends at Wisconsin Harley Davidson, they bring you this portion of the program, and they also bring you the reminder that the Milwaukee Rally is right around the corner. If you're looking to ride, you want to ride, or maybe you're looking to upgrade your ride now, go to Wisconsin Harley-Davidson in Oconomowoc. It's minutes west, and when you get to the Oconomowoc exit, you just look south of the highway, and you see the Bar and Shield. It's right there, the big, massive dealership that they have. They have got a ton of new and pre-owned, as they call it, pre-loved motorcycles right there on the showroom floor, and they're getting the 2020s in right now. So if you want to be one of the first to take a look at them, you can do that as well, or maybe buy one, as a matter of fact. But they're making deals. Our buddy Craig, the general manager out there, he's selling them off, and people are walking away smiling and happy, and they're working with you. They always say, hey, our house is your house. Come on out and say hello and make a deal and become a friend and become a rider and become part of that brother and sisterhood that is. But they're doing deals right now, and the motor clothes department is stocked up for the rally. It's stocked up for fall. It's stocked for the fall ride, which is right around the corner up in Tomahawk. It's stocked up for all of that stuff with fashionable stuff. Usable, fashionable stuff, not just your basic T-shirt and all the craptastic stuff that they used to put out there. Now they've got really cool stuff out there, from jackets, hats, leather shirts, jeans, whatever it is you need, they've got it. Stop out to Wisconsin Harley-Davidson, and everything they have is online. Go to WISHD.com. That's WISHD.com. And don't forget, that is also the landing spot for our party coming up on Sunday, September 1st. That's where we're going to end up with our motorcycle ride for charity. Our motorcycle ride benefits Fisher House, Wisconsin. I encourage you to check that out. It's on the events page at WISHD.com. It's on the Bill Michaels page, BillMichaelsSports.com in the events section, and it's on the Milwaukee Rally page if you go to MilwaukeeRally.com. So everywhere it's findable. But we're going to start out down at Milwaukee Brewing in downtown Milwaukee, and the police are going to escort us out, and we're going to have a tremendous day and end up at Wisconsin Harley-Davidson for the party. So it's a win-win-win for everybody. Come on out and join us and stop out to Wisconsin Harley-Davidson during the rally as well. So my question is, and I think it's an easy answer in many people's opinion, but the NFL did a bad job last night. I mean, is there any doubt about that? The field itself was not terrible. Okay? It's old. It's just, it hasn't been replaced. It's look, it's better than what they used to have in the Metrodome. It's better than what they used to have at the old Vet Stadium in Philadelphia. It's better than the old turf that they had at Riverfront Stadium when the Bengals played there when I was growing up. It's better than all of that. But in the newest day and age of technology and what they have and the way they've improved and all these teams going to this field turf that is so much like real grass short of the little granules of rubber you get in your face and your mouth, it's so much better. It's about $1 million to resod a field like that. Now, I know the NFL doesn't want to just throw away $1 million, but if you're going to put people there and your players there, maybe that's a way of saying thanks for letting us use your stadium, because really the Oakland Raiders didn't have much of a place to go and they didn't have the ability to do that. So we'll throw you $1 million and redo your field. You knew it was coming, right? The NFL can resod an entire stadium and redo an entire stadium in the week between the NFC and the AFC championship games and the Super Bowl. Why in the hell couldn't you do that up in Canada? And then fix the patches properly for the goalpost where they should be during the Canadian Football League and where they ended up for an NFL exhibition game. NFL did a poor job, and it looks bad for the NFL. But you know what? As I said before, and I'll say it again, until they really decline in ratings and money, the NFL doesn't care. They're the biggest and baddest on the block. And if you go away, who cares? They'll just say, next. And somebody else is willing to take your spot, and that's the problem. Hey, when we come back, we're going to start kind of listening to the different coaches from last night. You're going to want to hear this. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.